I mentioned earlier in the show some of this research I was doing pertaining to the Alumbrados Society and how this was the origins of the Illuminati. I'd like to read something for you here now. The historian Marcelino Menendez Pelayo found the same name, Alumbrados, as early as 1492 and traced the group to a Gnostic origin. These were the Illumined Ones. Menendez thought their views were promoted in Spain through influences from Italy. One of their earliest leaders, born in Salamanca, was a laborer's daughter known as La Beata de Perdita. She came to the notice of the Inquisition in 1511 by claiming to hold colloquies with Jesus and the Virgin Mary. Some high patronage saved her from a rigorous denunciation, and Ignatius of Loyola, was, while studying at Salamanca in 1527, was brought before an ecclesiastical commission on a charge of sympathy with the Alumbrados, but escaped with an admonition. Others were not so fortunate. Notice how they had these people in their custody, but once they found out what they were really doing, who they were working for, they let them go. In 1529, a congregation of naive adherents at Toledo was subjected to whippings and imprisonment. Greater rigors followed, and for about a century, alleged connection with the Alumbrados sent many to the Inquisition, especially at Cordoba. The Alumbrados were officially condemned in an edict of the Grand Inquisition in 1623, yet the light of their shining ones has not ceased to shine. The shining ones is what the Alumbrados was. That was the precursor of what eventually became the Illuminati. And so when Weishaupt came into the picture in 1776, Weishaupt wasn't, you got to understand, at that time you had, the Vatican had already been around for a long time, and they'd been behind the Crusades, and they'd been behind all this stuff, and anybody who had religious beliefs outside of Christianity and the church were, you know, considered heretics and blah, blah, blah. But what's funny is I've seen all these historical examples of every time that the priest class and every time that the Holy Roman Empire would go after a specific ideology, they would then absorb that ideology into their power structure and then use it to further their own agenda. That's what they do. And this has been going on for hundreds of years, and that's exactly what we know as the modern day term Illuminati was, because they basically persecuted all the people who were out of the Alumbrados Society, who were, you know, was really the first Illuminati. And then what did they do? Well, they sent Weishaupt in to infiltrate the Masonic lodges to get the rest of the information. And then once they had all the secret knowledge, because all of this stuff ultimately went back to Solomon's Temple. And then once they had that, Weishaupt was then allowed to set up the quote-unquote Illuminati under the guise of it being a Catholic order, because he was a former Jesuit as well. And this is where you had it become a part of the continuing control of the power structure of the Vatican and the priest class itself, and beyond just something, because probably on its own, it may not have become what it was. This may have well have been something that was being started by people to do good things. But these, these are the people who came up with the ideology that the Jesuits came up with the ideology that the end justifies the means. And that is the same modus operandi these people use today. The Modern History Project introduction briefly overviews the Alumbrados as the Alumbrados, Enlightened or Illuminated Ones, was a mysterious movement in Spain during the 16th and 17th centuries. They believed that when a person achieved a certain degree of perfection, they experienced a vision of God and then entered into direct communion with the Holy Spirit. At this point, the soul would enter a state of limbo, not advancing or going back. Once this level was achieved, a person didn't have to perform any good works or get involved in any religious activity because they had received the light. Boy, imagine that. Imagine if that was, if we were all allowed to have that, you wouldn't have to, you receive the light. And once they received the light, they would possess superior human intelligence. Oh, well, we can't have that getting out to the public, especially if you're running religion, can you? Nope. Wow. Gene Discola connects the Los Alumbrados with the other Illuminati, but sees both groups as related to mysticism as much as secret societies. Despite their perceived threat to political and ecclesiastical authorities, they included personalities as different from one another as Juan Valdez, Miguel Servet, and Magdalena de la Cruz, possibly mad or else an inspired prophetess. It is said that she foretold the Battle of Pavia and the arrests of Francis I. The Holy Office was in a frenzy of zeal to purify the church to guard against the dangers of ever more threats, as imagined. After all, the sudden appearance in the north of Protestantism, as well as humanism, were unprecedented and highly disturbing. In Spain, the old civilization of Moors and of Jews, though beaten, nevertheless seemed capable of resurrection to the paranoid Catholic inquisitors. It must be the work of the devil, the alarmed inquisitors felt. They must be influenced by Jewish Kabbalists or by Muslim Sufis. They are sorcerers and charmers, they said, yet the religious police were relentless. And that's the whole thing, is these, you know, that's what they've done. They, you know, any group they've seen as a threat to their power structure has ultimately been powerful. That's why they've seen it as a threat. So what do? Will they kill off all the people that are in charge of these different movements? They take their information, absorb it into their power structure, kill everybody involved, and move on, and then use it to further their own agenda. And that's what's so mind-blowing to me now, to find out. And somebody said to me one time, that, and I think it was in the chat room or in an email, or I can't remember, but somebody said to me one time, you know, Josh, I think that you probably opened up a bigger can of worms with this CMP thing than you even know that you have. And I find that absolutely true, because now that I'm finding out these connections with the Jesuit Order, the John Birch Society, and how far this stuff, the Jesuit Order, goes back to the formations of the Illuminati, even prior to the actual Illuminati being founded. I mean, now, and then cross that with these people that are involved with, that are in the bloodlines. It's unbelievable. So this is why statements like what Peter Del Scott said in that first interview that I did with him, and why I've said things like, you know, nobody's saying these guys are running the world, but what we're saying is they're definitely, you can't trace the CFR's origins back to the Illuminati, but you certainly can trace the origins of the people that are involved in the Council for National Policy and the Jesuit Order and the rest of this stuff, all the way back to their, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years in history here, folks. These guys have been running the show for a very long time. And so I hope to have more of this information sussed out than I do now and be able to get some of it in the Secret Volume 2, but I wanted to give you a little taste of that here tonight. Let's finish up with our news here now. 92% of Afghans have never heard of 9/11. Fewer than 1 in 10 Afghans are aware of the 9/11 attacks and their precipitation of the war in Afghanistan, as a study from an international think tank. A report from the International Council on Security and Development shows that 92% of those surveyed had never heard of the coordinated multiple attacks on U.S. soil on September 11, 2001. It also shows that 4 in 10 Afghans believe the U.S. is on their soil in order to destroy Islam or occupy Afghanistan. To be sure, the survey can't claim to be definitive. It only canvassed men and relied primarily on respondents from Helmand and Kandahar, the two most war-torn provinces in the country. But the results nonetheless show that Western forces fighting insurgents in Afghanistan have largely failed to connect with the local population. So these people are getting blown away, getting killed, getting raped, pillaged, getting their land taken, everything else, and they don't even fucking know why the American troops are there. Now, way to go after the hearts and minds there, boys. And then what else? We're out to reach the hearts and the minds of these people. We want them to know that we're their friend. Yeah. Well, I think you failed miserably. I mean, we got, it's like, if you're going to fuck me, leave a fucking mint on the pillow after you're done or something. My God, have the fucking common decency to give me a reach around. But I mean, it's like, you know, if you're going to go over and kill somebody and wipe out people and take their land and the resources, you know, why don't you tell them why that is? You know, at least before you have a translator there and tell them in Arabic that, you know, you bastards flew airplanes into our building, so we're going to blow your heads off. Not that I believe that happened. What I'm saying from the perspective of a troop, you know, You guys flew airplanes into our buildings and killed us, you're terrorists, so here, we're here to kill you. Boom. They don't, you know, I mean, that would at least be dignified. No, they're just going over and wiping these people out. These people have no idea what the fuck's going on. 9-11, what's that? We don't know what's going on. We have no idea here. Why are you here to kill us? We didn't do anything. It makes it all the more sick, doesn't it? And oh man, oh man. Well, that's it for tonight. We're going to wrap it up right there. Thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. Please support us at the website. We do need your support right now. We've got to reach our goal there on the chip-in banner, and got to get some money in here to get this film done. So act accordingly, and please support us if you can, folks. We don't have commercials. We do not have ads. We are uncensored. That's going to continue into the first of the year when we go back to the 11 to 2 time slot, Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time, as we go back against Jones. But we got to get some more capital in here to get a new monitor and get some stuff so we can get phone calls, guests on here again, get the C-Right Volume 2 out. Everything else, so we can only do that with your support, because we don't have advertisers that give us money like every other network out there. You don't come to our website and get ads. We do this off of the kind support of our listeners and people who believe in what we're trying to do, and who don't want this to be a complete wash, and don't want these people who are keeping the hearts and minds of individuals out there who really are good-hearted people who. A lot of these people who are involved in the truth movement and stuff, and they're good-hearted people. They want to do the right thing. But they're being led down to their demise by these evil, corrupt bastards. And Alex Jones lives in a $725,000 house. He has 35,000 members on his prison planet that pay $9.95 a month. He makes something like $120,000 a month off that alone, but yet he has a $500,000 money bomb and asked his audience to give him $500,000 to employ a studio. We need $1,300. I mean, my God, it's disgusting. So, you know, just support us if you can. And thank you so much to everybody out there for your continued support and listenership. My name is Josh Reeves, and I love each and every one of you. And we will see you all next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great night, and take care. Don't have the outro music loaded up here. There we go. There it is. All right, you guys.